There we go. Try that again. Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning as we are privileged once again to be able to worship here in person. We're grateful for everyone's continued cooperation in following the social distancing protocols during our assembly. Those members who were able to be present for last Sunday's congregational meeting gave unanimous approval for Kathy Connell to serve as our full-time director of children and youth ministries, and also for Kathy Gorman to serve as our congregation's custodian. Both of these women will officially begin their roles on Sunday, November 1st. So may we please welcome Kathy and Kathy to our midst. Another employee who's become an irregular is Brad Zimmerman. He'll be filling out a W-4 this week and moving into our offices downstairs. He is serving as our music director during Andrew's absence again today. It was confirmed earlier this past week that Andrew's wife, Raina, does indeed have the coronavirus, and Andrew has also been experiencing symptoms. So he will not be returning to worship with us until both he and his wife are feeling well and he's been able to test negative for the virus. So may we certainly continue to remember Andrew and Raina in our prayers. Then on Thursday evening this week, October 22nd at 6:30, the Evening Disciple Women's Ministries meeting. I could not say that three times fast. Evening Disciple Women's Ministries meeting will be held at Countryside Christian Church. It's at 61st and Knoll in Mission, Kansas. There will be no meal. Masks are, of course, required. Men are also welcomed as well at this event. The speaker will be Reverend Dr. Roger Beeson, with a duet by the pastor and his wife. And this will also be live streamed. I have the live stream link here. If anybody would like that, see me after the service and I'll make a copy of the address and the live stream link for you. So welcome again, folks, and please welcome Brad as he once again leads our call to worship.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. If you'll all stand, please, for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. And if you'll join me in the opening hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," stanzas 1, 3, and 5. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll crown the everlasting song and crown him.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Holy God, we are indeed privileged to be able to gather in worship and fellowship in person And we pray for the day when we can resume personal contact and in passing the communion elements again. We also give thanks for the recent additions to our staff at Berry, and we pray for your guidance as we begin the journey forward to grow our ministries. O Lord, this morning we pray that we might feel the living presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through your Holy Spirit working actively here in your church. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Take a moment to turn around and wave at each other and give air hugs and welcome each other to worship this morning before having your seat.
As we go to God in prayer today, again, we certainly are remembering Andrew and Raina and hoping all works out well for them in the midst of these virus concerns. We continue to remember Catherine O'Neill's daughter, Susan Mayberger. She made good progress through the surgery, and we pray for her continued recovery, as well as recovery for Ken and Roxy Weaver, and also for Jill McCombie. We're remembering Jim and Phyllis Frenthrop, Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, and brother, Brandon, Jerry Treese's great-nephew, Kenneth Hoyes. We're remembering Edna Williams' great-granddaughter, Caitlin. She is also making good progress and now home. And Judy Settles, Betty Donahue, Raina Ralston are continuing to be in our prayers, as well as Perla Mora's niece, Michelle, and her friend, Mary Ann Sales. J.C. Riddle is still dealing with the issues of leukemia. Pam Roberts continues to have the neurological concerns, so we keep her in our prayers every day. And Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew, Kent, is making good progress, as well as Susan Hank's daughter, Candace. And, of course, Michelle Jacobo and her family are in our prayers as well. So with all these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to once again offer you praise and worship as we assemble in this sanctuary. We give you thanks for the measure of constancy we feel, simply in the privilege of gathering in this space as fellow believers to celebrate that Christ is indeed Lord and Savior. We offer you thanks for the constancy of your great love expressed through your Son's example. For as Jesus dwelt among us, he demonstrated that he is the shepherd who watches over his sheep. We remember that he declared that as the good shepherd, surely he would leave the 99 and seek after the one who is lost. And as today's scripture reading from the third chapter of the book of Revelation reminds us, we are comforted by the image of Christ being the one who always stands at the door to knock and indeed seeks a relationship with each of us every day. Even as we continue to face many challenges in this year of 2020, with the virus raging ever onward and the need for hospital care mounting, may we always be reassured by the truth that you seek after every one of us as your children, whom you love dearly and personally. Guide us, O God, in our endeavors to be avenues of your care for others, as we find great assurance in the truth that Christ always walks among us and offers us hope and assurance. This we pray in the name of our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust. Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him
Gail. In these days of our social distancing restrictions, we've replaced the passing of elements of the bread and the cup with a community reflection. These are typically reflective of the scriptures that are explored during our teachings. So today, as we share these words in the next few moments, may each of us find meaning in these words, and may they become meditations of our hearts. May we turn to our community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. Jesus says unto us, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and eat with him, and he will eat with me. Just as I have been victorious and now sit by my Father on his throne. If you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says. Our hymn of contemplation is number 340. Softly and tenderly, we will sing all stanzas.
Scripture reading I'll share with you this morning is the last book of the New Testament, Revelation. And again, as we're in this series, it is, of course, the third chapter, but we're looking at verses 14 through 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, I write, this is the message from the Amen, the faithful and true witness, who is the origin of all that God has created. I know what you have done. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and well off. I have all I need. But you do not know how miserable and pitiful you are. You are poor, naked, and blind. I advise you then to buy gold from me, pure gold, in order to be rich. Buy also white clothing to dress yourself and cover up your shameful nakedness. Buy also some ointment to put on your eyes so that you may see. I rebuke and punish all whom I love, but in earnest then, and turn from your sins. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and eat with him, and he will eat with me. To those who win the victory, I will give the right to sit beside me on my throne, just as I have been victorious and now sit by my Father on his throne. If you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're grateful for the day to once again assemble in your house, to hear from your word and to seek its guidance for our lives. For we know your Spirit, through Christ's example, strives to guide us in ways that bring glory to your kingdom day by day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this Sunday we conclude our 3:16 series with a look at a portion of the third chapter of Revelation. The aging and last surviving apostle of Jesus, the apostle John, is imprisoned on the island of Patmos, exiled to the island as a result of anti-Christian persecution under the Roman Emperor Domitian. John experiences a vision from the Lord Jesus, and the first three chapters are a series of messages to seven early Christian churches located in what is now the western side of Turkey. To each of the churches, Jesus offers a critique of their actions and motivations, but with each measure of judgment also comes an opportunity to see the error of their ways and to be drawn closer in their relationship to Jesus Christ. And since we've been looking at the third chapter of each New Testament that we've explored in this 3:16 series, our focus today begins with the 14th verse of this third chapter of Revelation. This is Jesus' message to the last of the seven churches. Here it is the community of Laodicea. The message begins, "This is the message from the Amen." Now, the word Amen here does not mean so be it, as it means at the end of a prayer. Here it is a reference to the Hebrew meaning of the word, where the word Amen simply means truth. Jesus is saying he is the truth, whom the Laodicean believers should rely upon. Just as Jesus had said to Thomas in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." Jesus then goes on to say that as he is the Amen, the truth, also the faithful and true witness, he is then the origin of all that God created. And to further validate his position as the true witness of God, here he is saying, "I've been a part of God since the very beginning of all creation. As a consequence, you should certainly understand that I am the authority." Just as Jesus referenced in the chapter 1, verse 1. "Before the world was created, the Word," meaning Jesus, "already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God." As Jesus is the Amen, the truth, and also the origin of all creation, the Laodicean Christians ought to trust what this vision of Jesus is saying to them. And so then, in the 15th verse, Jesus says to them, "I know what you have done. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were one or the other. Jesus goes straight to the problem of the Laodicean believers. They are lukewarm in their walk of faith. Laodicea was established on the river Lycus, but the primary source of drinking water was from a warm springs whose water was brought into the city by means of an aqueduct. Yet as the hot water traveled the distance, it arrived lukewarm. And so Jesus was using something to which they were familiar with, their own lukewarm water, to say to them, you folks, your faith is lukewarm. They are being chastised for lacking in a zeal for the Christian way of life that could be beneficial, just like warm springs water may certainly be that which could help a person's aching joints. See, being warm is not helpful. Being hot water is helpful. And just like cold water can also be like a refreshing drink. Being lukewarm is in the middle of things. But lukewarm here in the spiritual sense is to say that it is easy to believe that a lifeless Christian walk of faith is somehow okay with God. The standards, however, are too low, and the resultant mediocre witness can lead new believers into thinking that God expects little, if anything, from their Christian walk of life. You know, we have to even understand that's kind of the way how different churches operate. Some churches have a high level of commitment on the part of the people. Other churches have a very low level of commitment or expectation of their members. And so little ministry gets done. But yet one can think, oh, well, I'm safe because I'm in the church. I'm saved. And I'm doing what I ought to be doing, though little it may be. Thus, Christ has a firm rebuke to the Christian believers who offer nothing more than a complacent attitude toward God. Jesus declares to the Laodicean Christians in verse 16, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. How often it is the case that believers today fit the title of being lukewarm. It's rather easy to offer so little to God in the form of one's time, devotion, personal resources, or commitment that others observing one's Christian witness can easily say, well, there's really not much to being a Christian, is there? When we fall so easily into such a complacent state, we are of little use to the kingdom-building task of our day and time. Thus, Jesus is saying, I'll spit you out of my mouth, for your witness is useless to me. Then in the 17th verse, Jesus makes reference to another familiar identifying factor to the Laodicean believers. The fact was, they were quite wealthy. It was a banking center for the area. Significant wealth had been accumulated by the wool trade and by a number of natural resources in the vicinity. In the mid-60s AD, the city suffered a devastating earthquake that destroyed most of the city's buildings. Yet, the city fathers refused financial aid from the Roman government. They said, we've got it. We can take care of this ourselves. And in fact, they did. Yet they were also very prideful of their self-sufficiency. The Laodicean people also prided themselves with the Greek arts that encompassed the city that they created. So it was very easy for them to blend their Greek cultural, mythical ideas into their understanding of what the Christian faith was all about. And that also made them, if you will, lukewarm. Yet Jesus says to the Christian believers in verse 17, you say, I am rich and well off. I have all I need. But you do not know how miserable and pitiful you are. you are poor, naked, and blind. Jesus is telling them that their physical wealth is blinding them so much that they cannot see the spiritual poverty that is the result of their complacency. They may believe their wealth is a sign of God's approval, but Jesus is declaring that they are actually miserable and poor when it comes to matters of spirit and matters of the faith. Thus, in the 18th verse, Jesus declares, I advise you then to buy gold from me, pure gold, in order to be rich. Buy also white clothing to dress yourself and cover up your shameful nakedness. Buy also some ointment to put on your eyes so that you may see. Now, what's interesting here is that the Laodicean believers knew that every image that was being lifted up here had a spiritual aspect to it. And Jesus was saying, well, don't focus on your own wealth. If you want wealth, what you really need to do is buy from me. See, he's making a play on the words here about their wealth. But Jesus, of course, knows that they never could buy anything, but that Christ certainly is the one who makes provision. And yet, he lifts up gold, because gold is the heavenly inheritance of the kingdom of God. And white garments are mentioned because they represent the forgiveness of sin through the sacrifice that was made by Christ on the cross. Again, remember, later reference in the book of Revelation will be clothed in the white linen, right? And that is the purity that comes to us because of what Christ has done for us. And the eye salve, because they are spiritually blind, represents the spiritual healing and restoration of spiritual insight made possible by following Christ. Yet again, things they can actually buy, material resources. Jesus knows that they are needing to repent, and it is only in repentance that we are offered up the very precious gift of this sort of inheritance from Christ. So with the 19th verse, then Jesus goes on to say to them, I rebuke and punish all whom I love. Be in earnest then, and turn from your sins. And then in the 20th verse, Jesus declares a vision of himself continually seeking out those who are spiritually lost by their own complacency, their material contentment in the world. As Jesus declares with great earnestness words that are not only for the Laodicean believers, but certainly for believers throughout the generations. In verse 20, Jesus declares, Listen, I stand at the door and knock. This verse is really the key verse for this particular text. So, see, we're straying from our John 3:16 modality, aren't we here? But this is the verse that stands out. This verse has been so well associated with paintings of Jesus knocking at the door. And the one that you're probably most familiar with is the one by Warner Solomon, titled Christ at Heart's Door. Even as there are thorny bushes of our own sinful way encroaching upon the front door entrance in the painting, we see Jesus close up to the door as he is knocking, seeking entrance through the door of our complacency and our sinful ways and into the very essence of our hearts. So you see, it should give us a great sense of assurance knowing that in spite of our shortcomings, even if we are indeed lukewarm in our response to what Christ has done for us, the truth of the matter is Christ is always at the door knocking, always wanting to engage us in a more meaningful, deeper relationship, right? That is the true essence of what's being described here in this text. And so as the text continues here with verse 20, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and eat with him, and he will eat with me. Again, meals were a tremendous image of fellowship because food was so precious. But to be able to share what one had with others was not only a very key element of hospitality, but truly one of great fellowship. That's why Jesus chose to use the Passover event and to transform it into the Lord's Supper as the key pinnacle event of his journey with the disciples. Because that fellowship, again, brings everybody together in a bond, and it is shared at the table, if you will. And so as the text continues, to those who win the victory, I will give the right to sit beside me on my throne, just as I have been victorious and now sit by my Father on his throne. And then in the 22nd verse, Jesus offers a final word to all seven churches here in this region of the western portion of what is now Turkey. As he says, if you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And so what have we learned today by what Jesus says to the Laodicean believers in this third chapter of the book of Revelation? Well, we can pridefully believe that God must be pleased with us, for we think, well, you know, we're okay. Things are all right. God must love us as we are. Yet in truth, if our Christian walk is filled with complacency, we are like lukewarm water that neither offers comfort like hot springs on aching muscles or quenches thirst like a refreshing cold drink. And we are challenged to repent of our lukewarm ways and be reassured that Christ is always standing at our door, knocking, wanting entrance into the very depths of our hearts and being, so that we may be compelled to walk ever closer with Christ and Christ's ways, and therefore far more effective in the witness that we offer to the world. So the question for each of us today is, do we hear Christ knocking? Will we let him in to our heart of hearts and respond in such a way that we are indeed mighty witnesses in what we do and say? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, I welcome you to consider coming forward and accepting Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation in your bulletin flyer. It's the number 602. Oh, Master, let me walk. 602, we're going to sing all stanzas, please.
Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Me the slow some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and me in the homeward way. Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer, clearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends us shining rays. pray. Far down the future's blind way, in peace that only thou canst give, with thee, O Master, let me live.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the very best as you journey through the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for the privilege to worship your holy name in your house today. Guide us as we step forward into the new week, that indeed what we do and say will truly bring glory to your kingdom. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth that has for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart.